Chances are you know a child with autism. In Utah, roughly 1 in 58 kids are on the autism spectrum. And this likely won't surprise you because in recent years, a lot has been done to raise awareness. But knowing these kids are out there, that's just the first step. And as KUER's Lee Hale reports, there's a growing need for training on how best to work with these kids.
Do you feel like a lot of people understand what autism is, or do you feel like some people don't understand it?
No.
I feel like a lot of people understand it, but some people just, I don't think they could get it yet that we have it.
Ethan and Jaren Wonder are 10-year-old identical twins with autism.
What don't they understand?
Probably like everything.
They live in Utah County, go to a public elementary school, and their voices are nearly impossible to tell apart.
They put billboards and they're just like, okay, I think this is it. They should get a little bit more used to them.
Yeah.
I've seen a few of those billboards. Maybe you've seen them too. They tell parents to look for signs in young children. Are they making eye contact? Are they babbling? And this is really important. The earlier autism is detected, the better. But there's a lot more to it. The Wonder Twins describe it this way.
It's just like as if there's another brain, and like your normal brain tries to like fight back on the autism brain, but once in a while...
It's like a tug of war. The autism brain is more reactive, and sometimes the normal brain is sleeping.
Sleeping, I guess, kind of like take a break. Your autism brain could just whoop and it goes right over.
And that's when they act out in ways that can seem stubborn or immature.
So I am at the school multiple times a week. I'm quite a fixture at the school. I don't know if they appreciate it or not.
Jenny Wonder is the twins' mother. Over the years, they've had good and bad experiences with school. Jenny is quick to point out the good, but listening to her talk, it's obvious how much extra work goes into making sure Ethan and Jaren can get through a typical day. She is constantly checking in with teachers and administrators. She volunteers in the classroom, and yet there are still moments when things unravel.
School's only been in for about a month, and I've already been called down to the school.
One thing you should know about Ethan and Jaren is that they are rule followers. They don't like it when something seems unfair or when recess equipment is being used incorrectly. And recently, that's exactly what happened. Some kids were using the 4-square court at school without the correct amount of players.
And in their mind, they thought, we have more players, we should be on this. And they got into a little tussle at school and caused quite a problem.
And Jenny was frustrated. There seemed to be a lack of supervision during recess. And despite her efforts, it didn't seem any adult present knew the right way to respond to her twins. This is often how the story ends. But then, the school administration surprised her. Like, really surprised her.
They stepped right up and they agreed to have a conversation. And we talked to the boys and we came up with a solution. And so the school has said, you know, we'll... Sorry.
You're good.
They worked through a solution and they said, let's get some paint and we'll make a new court. And
they made the twins feel like they were helping to find a solution. You can hear how grateful Jenny was. But unfortunately, for families with children on the autism spectrum, responses like this are often the exception rather than the rule. And a big part of it is because teachers lack the training. They, like most of us, don't know how to act when they see a meltdown or a fight break out. It's easy to label these kids as rude or selfish without getting to the root of it.
All right, let's watch a few videos. What happens?
We're in a classroom at Utah Valley University in Orem. Students here are training to be teachers. The professor, Jennifer Call, has queued up some videos.
And it will be a little loud, just so you know.
Do you want me to go sit and time out over there?
The video is just as hard to watch as it sounds. A child with autism is kicking and screaming in a parking lot.
Vehicle, you do not hit
nobody. So it goes on for another like 3 or 4 minutes, and she actually just picks the kid up and puts him in the van, okay?
And then the class discusses what they just saw. Was the kid trying to escape something, seek attention? Do they want something? After a few minutes, the conversation transitions to firsthand experiences. Most of these students are teaching part-time as part of their autism minor.
Then right when we start calendar, this kid starts sobbing and screaming, saying he needs a break, but I'm like, it's only been happening this week, like it's gotten more intense. So we're like, well, we don't want to give him a break because we know he's doing it to escape.
So would you use a consequence intervention or an antecedent intervention with that?
We talked about an antecedent.
And this right here, this isn't just the focus of a single class. It's the focus of the entire building. Brand new this year, it's called the Melissa Nelson Center for Autism. It's got autism right there in the name.
The name autism, like, that means you own it, right? If you're putting the word autism, that's what you do, and you're saying, this is what we do and we want to do it well.
Teresa Carden runs the center, which is the first of its kind in the state. And her vision for what they do here goes far beyond UVU students. This center will be a training hub for school districts across the state. Because most teachers have not had autism training. They just haven't. Each year, 10 districts will be chosen to have in-depth coaching sessions.
And that's the goal, is so that parents can really feel confident in sending their children to any school district, fingers crossed, in the state of Utah, and really have a great experience.
You don't, in this building, you don't hear the word cure very often.
Yeah, I mean, autism is a part of a person. It's part of who they are. It's not necessarily a horrible, bad, awful thing. It's just a different thing. And I don't know. The word cure is... I had someone tell me once, well, would you want to cure your blondness? And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. No, of course not.
And Cardin says that because there is such a spectrum, the idea of a cure just doesn't make sense. But what does make sense is a community that can learn to respond to these kids differently, to worry less about whether or not they'll get better, and more about what it will take to make their day-to-day a little better. Lee Hale, KUER News.